Please mute people.
All right, evening everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Welcome to SheerEnjoyment.com. Special thanks to Ari Perlman, Don Allen, and to his entire family for all the chassadim they do for the Sheer, Jake Wyman, Ellie Nyman, and the entire Sheer Enjoyment team. Tonight's Sheer is on Parshas Toldos, and I want to try to talk about the bracha v'itin lecha. But there's so much to talk about in this week's parsha, including the blessing itself and whether or not Yaakov took it, which is a great debate that I've had with a lot of Rabbanim. I am of the opinion, and if you learn Midrashei Chazal, the question is quite clear, and the answer is not so obvious, and everyone has a different take. My personal take is that Yaakov did not steal any brachos. It says, Vayecharad Yitzchak Harada Gedola Ad Maod, that he was terrified. And if we learn all the psukim leading up to this, we will recognize that Yaakov Avinu walks in to get this bracha with the Reach HaTepuchim, Reach HaGaneden. And this reminds Yitzchak Avinu of Ganeden itself, because Chazal explained that when he went to the Akedah with Avram Avinu and Parshas in the prior Parsha, we know that in Parshas Vayera, we know that he was literally almost sacrificed. And, you know, another second, another moment, it could have ended. So at that moment, his neshama left him, and it was transferred up to Shemayim, where he experienced the Reach HaTepuchim, where he recognized he was right there. Secondly, Chazal explained that when he was on the Akedah, the Malachim were crying because they knew that this could be the end. So the tears of the Malachim went into his eyes. And it's these tears from these angels that caused his eyes to be weakened and to the extent that he was unable to see. So Yitzhak Avinu, when he recognized that Yaakov came into his room asking for this bracha, knowing that his mother had encouraged him to do so, was taken aback, because initially, certain midrashim, Yitzhak wanted to curse Yaakov. Yes, that's true. However, because he walked in with the malachim accompanying Yaakov, he recognized that this argument that he had with Rivka was futile. He lost it. What was this argument, and why didn't he curse? Because A, he saw that Yaakov Avinu was Hakoko Yaakov Aydaim de Esav. I know who you are. I know your voice. You know, people that are blind, they're able to hear your voice. They know right away who you are, and they have a better sense of what's happening all around them than most people who can see. And so Yitzhak, although he wasn't able to see, knew very well, Hakol Kol Yaakov, that if we're a blind person, that's all I need to know. You are the voice of Yaakov. Okay, so you put on some clothing, you put on a coat, you put on something that makes it seem as though you're very hairy on your arms. But we all know who you are. I know who you are. And you can't come to me, Yitzhak Avinu, who is Pachad Yitzhak. Yitzhak was Yira. Yiras Hashem, Yitzhak was somebody who was not to be messed around with. He was somebody who was willing to sacrifice himself for the Ribbono Shalom because his father was directed to do so, and he was a willing agent. And it's Yitzhak who we pin everything on in the Gemara when we talk about the Zchusim, Malamed Zchusim on Klal Yisrael, that the Avos are unable to line up themselves. But Yitzhak always does, and he argues, Yimeshin Asenu Bahem Shivim Shana, that if a person lives 70 years, how many of those years was he sleeping? Roughly half. How many of those years was he eating? How many of those years was he doing business and doing melacha? And how many of those years was he learning? And what's left, I'll split with you, half and half, six and six. And then, you know, obviously there's not much there. I'll be a shutuf with you, Akash Baruch Hu. Yitzhak is the defense. He is the defense algorithm. He is the methodology behind our success and our vitality, our viability as a nation, as a people. Because look at the extent to which Yitzhak was willing to go in order to preserve Klal Yisrael. He was willing to have himself killed. and you, Yaakov, come in and you tell me that you, you know, ani esu bechoracha. No, says the Gra, ani is a comma, esu bechoracha. I am ani, I am Yaakov, esu bechoracha. However, esu is your firstborn. So Yitzhak Avinu understands that there's something much, 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 much deeper than what's present in front of him. What's present in front of him is his son, but what's present is a nevuah, because nobody told my wife. I didn't tell my wife where I would be, and I didn't tell him, and I didn't tell her anything. All of a sudden, he comes with the Shnei Gidei Yizim, which Chazal explained was the night of Pesach, and that's why we say Chagadja, Chagadja. That's why we say the Shnei Gidei Yizim, the two billy goats. Why? Because that's what happened on the night of Pesach, the first night of Pesach, before Pesach happened. Yitzhak Avinu was looking for the Karban, the Karbanos, the Karban Pesach, and the Karban Shlomim. And he had all these things right in front of him. But why was Yaakov there? And why didn't he respond? He could not respond because Yaakov Avinu walked in with Malachim. These are the same Malachim that he recalls from the Akedah. Yaakov Avinu walks in, and it smells like Reach HaTapuchim, and it smells like Gan Eden. And Yitzhak, say Chazal, was a ghoul, meaning he looked like a dead person because his neshama left him at the Akedah, as we just said, and then it comes back as a live person. So he clearly had certain elements to him that didn't resemble that of a living person. So Yitzhak Avinu is looking at this situation and asking himself, how did my son Yaakov even know to bring me this food? I never told him anything. Must be my wife. She must be behind this. And for Rivka, why was she motivated to do this? It says Rivka loved her son, and that Yitzhak loved his son. And they both love different sons. They don't love the same people. Rivka ohevet es Yaakov because she knew that there was something greater to Yaakov's well-being. It had to be greater than simply the Dalet Amos Shel Torah. He had to be able to be successful in life. And when a person is successful, as my Rebbe, or Moshe David Tendler, from Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan YU, Yeshiva University, told the Shir over 22 years ago, I still remember today, that there's a pasuk in Mishlei which right now escapes me, but a wealthy person carries influence. I'm not saying that you should look at the wealthy people, but clearly Chazal marked these people as saying, well, you got to give them kavod. If a very wealthy person walks into the room, you have to stand up for them. You have to show them some kavod. There's a reason why Kosh Baruch Hu blessed them. Hopefully, they know what to do with their money, and give it to those that are less fortunate, or whatever it may be. But you have to recognize that there's a certain blessing that they're entitled to or that they received. And so if a person is successful, they carry influence and they carry sagely advice. You don't walk over to a beggar in the street and ask them for investment advice. You walk over to someone who's really successful and you ask them, how did you start your business? Can you tell me about your challenges that you faced and, you know, all the issues that you had along the road? How did you persevere? What was your logic? How did you employ people? What did you do to make them succeed? How did you oversee them? What did you do for management? And the list goes on and on and on. Questions keep on going and going and going. You can ask until you're blue in the face, and you may get some good information. At the end of the day, it's all really about mazel. How did this person do it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to succeed. Hashem wants you to succeed as well. But here is the clincher. This discussion was that Esav, according to Yitzhak Avinu, is the language of asu, to do. Esav, asu. Esav, asu. Meaning, my son, Esav, will be the first Yisachar Zebulun relationship. Yes, I want my son Yaakov to learn in Torah and to be studious. However, the only way he can succeed is if Esav helps him with his livelihood. That if Esav provides for him, if Esav provides, then Yaakov can sit and learn. Rivka said, no way. You don't realize what is going on over here. Esav is not Esav. He's not the person that you think. He's not a Asu. He's not to do. He's doing for himself. What does the Torah tell us later on? Reishis Goyim Amalek, the chief architect of this world. Who does Esav revere? Amalek. What does Amalek say? Amalek is the Gematria Safek. Amalek is the one who says karma, that there's no such thing as divine ordinance, or that occurs. The reason why a person, as the Gemara Chulin says, stubs his toe is because it was marked on high that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to experience that discomfort. No, you marked your toe, you hit your toe because you were silly and you weren't being careful. There's nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This all has to do with karma. This all has to do with occurrences that happen. And as occurrences happen, or there are other sayings for that, then hey, you just gotta go with the circumstances. But this is not the Derech HaTorah. We understand that Hashem is running the show, Mereishis Ad Achris, that Hashem is looking after us. He's also providing everything that we do is a relationship that we have with Hashem. What we do in order to stimulate the Sereisa de la Tata, the Sereisa de la Ela, as the Kedushas Levi explains, is all predicated on our ability to do what's right and to correct our shortcomings so that what we do will have a positive effect interrelationship on high and then back to Klal Yisrael, or not even on high. It could just be among us. We don't have to involve any other superpowers. We can have HaKadosh Baruch Hu could look upon us and say, I'm so happy. Look at my children. They always do what's right. Like a parent will look at a child and say, I don't have to tell my kid to use a knife and a fork. I don't have to tell my kid to cut their nails. I don't have to tell my kid to eat three meals a day and to daven. All these things, they know. They know everything. So I don't really have to be so, pushing them to scare them into different things, because Baruch Hashem, they're independent contributors, and I'm so proud of them. So here we find that this arch debate between Rivka and Yitzchak came to a head the second Yaakov walks into the room. And after he receives his blessing, which Yitzchak understood, my wife is correct. The only reason why he's here is because she received the Nevuah. She received the Nevuah that he should go out and get this because I was wrong. And Yitzchak was able to swallow his pride, give that blessing. However, moments later when Esav returns and he comes in and asks for a blessing, the pasuk says, "Vayecharad Yitzchak charada gedola ad ma'od." Now, if I tried to describe that someone's terrified, you would say he's terrified. But if I say to you, "Charada vayecharad" is one, "Charada" is two, "Gedola" is three, "Ad ma'od" is four. That means four levels outside of Yitzchak's comfort zone was where he felt the moment that Esav walked in. And why did he feel this way? He felt this way because Esav, as Midrashim bring down, Esav walked in with Gehenim. He walked in literally with hell. He walked in with Seraphim. He walked in with angels that reminded him of the opposite of every positive experience that he had at the Akedah. It was the diametric opposite of what he felt when Yaakov Avinu walked into that room. And he realized that he was correct in giving the blessing, but he also had to give a blessing here as well. And this is where we close the share. We have to understand and better learn this parsha, because if somebody, and that's why we all know Yaakov Avinu did not steal anything. Yitzchak Avinu, although he was blind, was well aware of his surroundings, gave this bracha with a full heart that Yaakov Avinu should be able to sit and learn and eat a chalent on Shabbos. He could be able to sit and learn Daf Yomi on the train at 6 in the morning or in the Beis Medrash at 5 in the morning and at the same time go out and make a living and be a productive member of society. He can be somebody who is so productive, he's able to support those who are not able to go out and work, and those who could work but decide to sit and learn instead. Yaakov Avinu has many different faces, many, many different attributes, many different qualifications and characteristics, and many different ways of expressing himself, and all of this comes out through his children. Naphtali, swift like a deer, and that's really the signal for the doar in the post office in Israel. It looks like a deer, so whoever is delivering mail should do it swiftly, just like the Shevet of Naphtali. And we have Yehuda, who is a gibor, but does that mean that he's not able to learn the same way? Maybe not as great as Yisachar Charom. He was like a stubborn donkey because he would sit up and learn all night, and the second his head hit the sefer, it was such a big knock, he got up and he started learning again. So Yisachar was somebody who was tenacious. Yaakov Avinu understood that all of his children have certain elements of leadership and qualities, but that's also very much a part of Yaakov himself. And I'd like to suggest that it all is derived from this bracha of Yitin Lecha. We, as individuals, as every person listening to the Shir, and those that will listen to the rebroadcast online at shirenjoyment.com after Jake posts it, know that we have tremendous kochos. As Rabbi Raps in Marine Park once said, Avraham Avinu was loved by Hashem, and therefore he was tested. And the great question is, you know what, as a friend, if you love me so much, don't test me. Leave me alone. Don't bother me with your tests. Why do you test me so much? What kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you to test me all the time? Just let me know, let's chill out, let's relax, let's have fun. Let's go eat out, let's have a steak together. Why are we bothering each other with testing? And the word Nisa is Avram, Hashem tested. Nisa also has the language of Nis, that there's a test. Everyone goes through tests. Everyone goes through challenges. Everybody, nobody has it easy. Nobody has it easy in life. And so the when a person is an Olympian, for example, and you tell this guy he has to throw the javelin, you know, X amount of yards, or he has to jump more than 12 feet in order to just make it into the cut. It's like, that's crazy. How in the world am I going to do that? And then the person throws the javelin, or the person is able to jump 16 feet. So Nais is also present. Do you see the miracle within? You thought you were unable to do this. You were never tested. Once you're tested, then you can see your true result. And the true result is that you are far greater than what you think you are right now. You have so much potential, it's unheard of. You don't realize how successful you can be if you apply yourself in the right way. May Hashem bless us in the same way that Yitzhak gave his blessing in this week's parasha. Parashas Toldos, so that Yitin Lecha Lokim Ital Shemayim Mishmane Aretz, that we should only have Besuros Tovos and Geshamim Beitam, as the pasuk says in this week's parasha. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you Hatzlacha, and I hope that you're able to revisit this parasha. Remember the following. As I said this to certain Rabbanim, if you think and if you're convinced that Yaakov stole this blessing, then I can't accept that my Zaidi would be a ganav. I can't accept it. Why would I go to shul? Why would I practice religion? If my Zaidi was a ganav, then where am I? However, since Yaakov Avinu was so hesitant and so careful, and he knew what the outcome of his actions would be, as his mother says, Alai kil afcha b'ni, it's going to fall on me. Don't worry, I know what's happening. And this is the greatness of Rivka Imenu. We spoke about her the other day. I still welcome those who would like to get the Dvar Torah. I can email it to you, mark.plotzker@gmail, mark with a C, plotzker with an S @gmail.com, mark.plotzker@gmail.com. So we all know that this is a fundamental yisod, a secret that I'm trying to convey in a very short time, and I need a lot more time to do it. But I hope that you're able to revisit this parsha, have a positive thought about Yaakov Avinu, don't think anything negative, stay positive, and recognize the great, great length to what Yaakov Avinu and Rivka did in order to secure this blessing. And it should always be a blessing for the Jewish people. We should always know happy occasions going forward and no more tzar in our ranks. Have a good night and a great Shabbos. Mordechai Plotzker from Hillside, New Jersey, wishing you the very best. Thank you.